This is
the Town Crier.
In medieval England, town criers were the chief means of news communication with the people of the town, since many could not read or write. Proclamations, edicts, laws, and news were usually passed on to the general public by the town crier.
Welcome to the Town Crier Show. I'm your host, Matt Timmons. This show is devoted to bringing you news and analysis from a biblical point of view. We believe, as Abraham Kuyper once said, that there is not one square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, "Mine." That means everything in this world ought to be done through a biblical perspective. That is, the perspective of God through His revealed word, the Bible. It doesn't matter if it's art, education, family life, the government, the military, recreation. All of life should have the word of God brought to bear on it. That's because God brings meaning and cohesion to all these things. That even applies to the wide world of sports. And in the news today, we find that the wide world of sports is, well, shall we say, becoming even wider because of some gender issues that are coming to the fore. The war of inclusivism is being waged on this front, as is reported by the Title IX blog. Title IX, of course, is the federal statute prohibiting discrimination on the basis of sex in federally funded schools. And while its application is to all things pertaining to the government-funded education and academics, it typically relates to issues in the arena of sports. An October 6 post on the Title IX blog is of peculiar interest. It deals with legislation that is being pushed for homosexuals looking to change their physical sexuality. The blog's headline reads, "Report urges equal opportunity for transgender athletes." The first paragraph goes like this: "The National Center for Lesbian Rights and the Women's Sports Foundation recently teamed up to tackle the barriers transgender student athletes face when seeking to participate in sex-segregated sports. A report released this week provides guidance in the form of policy recommendations and best practices to high schools and colleges regarding this issue. The report is timely and necessary," says the author of this blog, "as transgender athletes may be effectively excluded by the absence of any such policy, and in other cases, directly excluded by policies that do exist." Well, the blog goes on to note that the National Center for Lesbian Rights and the Women's Sports Foundation wish to have colleges and high schools across America adopt policy that is modeled after the Washington Interscholastic Athletic Association 2 years ago. The WIAA's policy allows students to participate in sports for whichever sex the student consistently identifies. That means that a male sports participant can participate in a women's league because he does not identify with his outward and physical sexuality as a male anymore. To put it another way, this boy can play in a girls' soccer league because internally he identifies himself with the gender of the female. The report goes on to talk about the implications of a sex change as it pertains to the sports participant. The recommendation deals with the role of hormone treatments and the transition period between the sexes. And as the recommendation delves into competition on the college level, it becomes incredibly more complex. You know, as college level athletics are more competitive and the role of hormonal treatment more viable among the older people, the older students, less likely in high school levels, the ethical questions become more diverse and, as I might add, much more problematic. And as the issue does scramble a bit at this point, become very complex, I'm not really going to dive into the particulars of it. What I wish to focus on are two things: the worldview itself presented in this case and the overt imposition of this worldview upon society at large. Now, when it comes to the worldview itself that is posited in these recommendations and in this blog, we should remember that this is something that is already being practiced. And that's why it's being regulated. Homosexuality and transgender sports issues have been around for almost 50 years. What's significant is that the issue is becoming more prominent in our present day. That's why the legislation is being pushed on a wider scale. This is indeed significant because it reminds us where we are today. We are a society that's not just in decline, but it is in complete ruins. You know, history is replete with examples of cultures where this practice has become prominent. And in every place where it has become prominent, it has been towards the end of that society's existence. Now, Romans 1:27 points out that God gives man over to his lusts as a form of retribution, or as a form of his wrath. And when God leaves a man to himself, one of the curses is that that man will leave the natural relations with the woman as God had ordained it and becomes inflamed with lust for those of his own sex. The progression is a downward trend, and it's a casting off of God's natural order. So the practice of homosexuality is an evidence of the decline into apostasy. And as it becomes more prominent, as it is predicted to do, we must all recognize with the utmost sobriety that it is the telling marks of an end of an age. We have moved into a post-Christian era. And this article is certainly an evidence of this, and it is expressed in no uncertain terms. The evolutionary, materialistic, and existential assumptions behind the gay, lesbian, transgender agenda are in no wise hidden in this article. The first thing that we can infer is how this worldview defies the order and the roles that God has established in His created order. According to these people, there are no established boundaries. The assumption is that there is no God, and you are free to define yourself however you wish. Externally, you may be a male, but internally, you may feel like a woman. So you may choose to conform yourself to whatever your personal whims are suitable to you. The biblical understanding is that one's internal desires ought to be treated with the utmost skepticism. The Bible says that the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. If you conform to anything, it ought to be the likeness of Christ as the revealed word of God defines it. We could follow up with simply expounding the fallacy posited by the transgender issue here. If we take their line of argumentation to its end, we'll end up in complete absurdity. One could just as rightly say that no one would be able to deny me the right to act like a fish if I internally felt like a fish. Why should we limit our personal estate to our gender? If we really want to be inclusive, and if we really want to be consistent, then we should be open to the bestial instincts of man. Of course, one can only define himself as he pleases in an evolutionary, materialistic worldview. When God is a reality, one must then submit and obey the limits and roles that he has divinely established in his created order. However, the reality we face in our day is that man is nothing more than a piece of Play-Doh, able to be formed and fashioned according to his own personal whims and inclinations. On this note, we might highlight the fact that when man eliminates the Creator, and when he gets rid of the creator-creature distinction, he unmans himself. Without the Creator of humanity, humanity is lost. This is why some scholars today, in relation to transgender sports, are talking about post-humanism. This is what one scholar mentioned in a paper produced by sports ethicist Mark Hamilton. To be sure, post-humanism is the goal of evolution. The evolutionary mindset is that all life forms are changing, all life forms are progressing, all life forms are, in essence, evolving. Humanity, then, is merely a blip on the screen, a short stop on the road to the next thing, whatever that thing may be. Add to this the notion that in the sports world, the object has always been that of a godlikeness. The aim is to reach a superior status where one can outperform another opponent. The unspoken goal of many athletes and coaches is the ideal athlete, to produce a superhuman who has become so enhanced that he can actually defy human limitations. You know, we see something of this in the topic of transgender athletes. The notion is that we are creating a new species. It is a synthesis of the genders, one that might be engineered through hormone treatment. We might even go so far as to say that it could lead to the possibility of creating an altogether new species. Hamilton even posited this in his paper, that there may come a time when a new game presents itself with no more divisions between men and women sports. He says in his own words, futuristically, the only realistic solution may be to merge both sexes into one open division. Now, Mark Hamilton addresses this issue as a Christian. He's a personal friend of mine, working in my own town. But he foresees a time where we actually could, with trajectory we are going in, with this atheistic underpinning to our current society, that there might be a merging of the sexes into one open division. Now, we as Christians stand in open opposition to such an issue. Christianity says that we are more than just a lump of clay, which we can mold and fashion according to our desires. As Christians, we understand that man is more than just a physical entity. We possess both a body and a soul. What's more is that our souls are the main aspect of who we are. It wasn't until the Lord gave Adam his spirit that he became a living being. He fashioned him up out of the ground, but that was not a living being until God breathed into him a living soul. So to try and redefine your sexuality is, in all reality, a complete impossibility. You might be able to change your outward appearance to suit the corruptions of your inward feelings, but nevertheless, you will always be what God created you to be, because you cannot change the spiritual aspect of who you are, which, I might add, again, is the majority of who you are. In the midst of all the muddled mess that we have here with regard to this issue of transgender sports and participating in those sports as a homosexual, we should not think that all is lost. There most certainly is one thing that we do find of redeeming value in this, and it is this. We affirm that transgenders and homosexuals are looking for their identity. They are trying to come to grips with who they really are. And what's more is that they are trying to lay claim to their own uniqueness. As Christians, we recognize and value that notion as a sweet gem. The only problem is that these people are trying to define themselves in their own way, rather than looking to the author and creator of man. The only real way to truly realize your identity is to find it in Christ and affirm your distinctiveness as a person made in the image of the triune God. To be sure, the only way to realize your full potential as a human being is to look in saving faith to the second Adam, Jesus Christ. In Christ, man is re-manned, and women are given their rightful security and affirmation. And in the future, when Christ appears to consummate the redemption that he began on the cross, we are brought to the perfected state where our full humanity is restored for all eternity. No doubt the clash of worldviews we see here is more profound than any competition or match that we might see on the court or out on the playing field. The atheistic and materialistic worldview is at odds with its antithetical opponent, Jesus Christ. And when it comes to the clash of the kingdom of man and the kingdom of Christ, it is a match that will not be decided until the final buzzer at the last trumpet call of Christ. That's why it's not enough simply to understand the worldview presented in this article. Really, we've only begun to lay the groundwork for what we really must consider. This article on transgender athletics is important for a much greater reason. The worldview that is detailed here is going to be, and in all actuality, is already being imposed on us. We mentioned at the outset that this blog and these recommendations by the National Center for Lesbian Rights are interesting because they point out where our culture is. But it is also significant because it tells us where we are going and what is happening in the government-funded schools right now. And this is something that we as Christians need to address because it is this issue that bears weight on our everyday lives, even upon our children. And we'll talk about how this is going to be imposed on our culture and how we as Christians can deal with this. And after this. Hey, radio friends. Let me tell you about BubbasGotTickets.com. BubbasGotTickets.com is your home for tickets of every kind. It doesn't matter if it's professional sports, big-name concerts, or the best theater productions, you can get your tickets from BubbasGotTickets.com. If you're planning on going to the game, check out BubbasGotTickets.com. Bubba's got an extensive selection of tickets to all the games. Doesn't matter if it's the NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, or hockey. Name your sport, Bubba's got your tickets. Preseason, regular season, postseason, and beyond, Bubba's got your tickets. Pick where you want to sit, behind the goalpost, right by the sidelines, up in the rafters, hey, or courtside, Bubba's got your tickets. No matter where you are or what you want to see, get your tickets from Bubba. BubbasGotTickets.com. Are you looking for a great gaming experience? Are you tired of those silly video games? Then why not check out CrashCombatGames.com? Crash Combat is a high-end laser tag with all kinds of missions to choose from. I've had a chance to play, and I have to tell you, it is awesome. The equipment is simply amazing. In talking with the field commander, I found out that he spared no expense when it comes to engineering of these guns and all the equipment. Of course, I really didn't need to talk to him to realize this. Handling it speaks for itself. And the best part about Crash Combat is that he brings the game to you. You don't need to travel anywhere. All you need is an area where you can play, like a woods or a farm or a warehouse. In all reality, you could execute missions right at the office or in your own backyard. For more information or to schedule an afternoon of unbelievable fun, go to CrashCombatGames.com and make sure you tell them that you heard it from the Town Crier. We're back on the Town Crier Show. Matt Timmons with you, and we're talking about the advance of the atheistic evolutionary worldview against Christ and his people. The subject for discussion has been a post on the Title IX blog about equal opportunity for homosexuals and transgenders in sports. We pointed out that one of the things the materialists promote is that you're free to define yourself as you wish. They say that if you feel like a spoon stuck in a fork's body, then you can do whatever it takes to change that. You can make yourself a fork. What I want you to notice, though, is that while they say you are free to define yourself however you want, you are not free to reject or deny this worldview. The goal of these people is by no means toleration. It is absolute approval and acceptance by all. The Title IX blog and the National Center for Lesbian Rights are both very optimistic that these recommendations regarding transgender athletes will be approved for affected schools throughout the United States. Those schools, of course, being the government-funded, government-controlled schools to which Title IX legislation pertains. As I said, both of these entities affirm that these new regulations will find widespread acceptance. I frankly agree with them. The trend is in that direction. As the gay and lesbian lifestyle increases and the materialism of our culture becomes even more consistent, it will be accepted on a widespread scale. And knowing that this is so, we as Christians have to take heed to how we proceed from this point. Is this something that we are going to let our kids be taught? And do know that this is a method of teaching. You know, someone might say, well, it's just a game. But it's not just a game. It's a form of teaching. The basic premise is you are nothing more than material dust, a glorified germ at best, which is the product of a random cosmic accident. That's the message that's being sent by the government-run educational system of the day. And that's the message that these new athletic recommendations are communicating to you and your children. And just think of all the other ethical dilemmas that these regulations are going to produce. Think about all that is involved in sports events or other extracurricular activities. If your child is participating in football, he's going to have to be in a locker room and have to take showers with these kinds of people. You are going to be facing situations where one's personal purity is being compromised. You know, the Title IX blog here also mentions hotel room assignments. If there happens to be an overnight game, or maybe the band has a competition that they have to attend over the weekend, your child might be made to spend the night with someone who is sexually deviant. Now, you're putting your child at risk here. If not to actual sexual contact, at least to the indoctrination of gender perversion. The message that they are going to send is accept, accept, accept. And when that drum has been beaten enough and your child has been exposed to it enough times,
they will break down those values that you have tried to instill in your child. These people know that if they push enough, if they repeatedly beat your kid with this message, they can cause enough chinks in the armor. They're going to end up conforming. The team will then be a team at last. Now, that's the essence of this. That's the essence of a game. A team is a team only when there is unity of action and unity of purpose. You can't be a team when you have a couple of dissenters. The agenda here is not merely just a game. It is an all-out recruiting expedition. These people want to recruit you. They want to conscript your children to play on their ungodly, atheistic team. And the only way to avoid this is to take a stand against the system. And I might add, drop out of the system. The only way you can provide a safe haven for you and your children is to formulate a system that is built on the principles that you hold dear and the principles that you find sacred. You know, the early church understood this well. They did not participate in the Greek games of their day. The games were thoroughly pagan in their orientation. And participating in those events was an act not just of affirming the pagan lifestyle, but actually participating in the paganism and the godlessness of the time. And that's what your kids may well be doing if they participate in those sporting events today. As Christians, we recognize the value of sports. I am not condemning sports by any means. Sports are of great value. They're valuable because they teach discipline. They help us to understand hard work. They're valuable because they help us develop physically. You know, the body is to be cherished. It's to be taken care of. That's because it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. However, we are to be careful that we do not idolize sports. If we do, we can compromise our children, and we can end up sacrificing them on the altar of athletics. I'll tell you what, I have a daughter, and she is an outstanding athlete. Now, she's only 8 years old, but she's showing some serious promise athletically. But I'm not going to let sports, or any other activity for that matter, be the rule by which she is raised. She is foremost to be devoted to Christ. And I, as her father, am responsible for her purity before God, both spiritually and physically. Now, yes, we do sports and we do all sorts of other events, but we're very careful about what kinds of events she participates in. We have chosen to educate our child at home so that she comes up with an education that would be pleasing to God. We want to make sure that she is taught a godly sexuality. And when she comes into contact with the perversities of the world, we're going to teach her so that she knows how to deal wisely with those people and with those circumstances. And we are certainly not going to throw her to the humanist lions by letting her be indoctrinated through their sports activities. Now, right now, we like to find avenues for her athleticism, and there are a lot out there. I thank God that there are many avenues from which to choose. But I recognize that there may come a time when we have to say no to all athletic participation, just like those Christians in the early church once had to do. At the very base, if we are a Christian, we need to remember that we are called to walk on the narrow road, one that while at all times is loving, it is by no means inclusive. And that narrow road may sometimes lead us away from the wide world of sports.